what happens within you when you even hear the word wait? What happens within you when you wait in line at the grocery store? Are you convinced that no matter what choice you make, any line you choose to stand in will turn out to be the slowest? How much of our time is spent in waiting? We wait for the mail. We wait in traffic. We wait for special days to arrive and special people to return home for these special occasions. We wait at times of birth, and we wait at times of dying. We wait. Waiting is, in many ways, part of our natural existence. And today, this blessed day in the season of waiting, we are remembering and, yes, celebrating that waiting can be and is a rich experience in our lives. This Advent season, today, we are waiting for God. We are waiting for God. Simone Weil has written that waiting patiently in expectation is the very foundation of the spiritual life. Waiting patiently in expectation. And Andre Nouwen, the well-known pastoral theologian, reminds us that waiting is active, not passive. He notes that active waiting means to be fully present to the moment, to the conviction that something is happening where you are and that you want to be present to it. Something is happening. A waiting person is someone who is present to the moment, who believes that this moment is the moment. Active, watchful waiting means to be present, really present where we are, right now, right here, at this particular moment in time. These days, we more often hear the terms being mindful or practicing mindfulness. But I rather like the phrases waiting patiently in expectation and active waiting. Well, what does Jesus say about waiting? Be on guard, Jesus says to his disciples during the last week of his life. Be alert at all times. His advice tells us that he too knows something about waiting, whether it's waiting for the axe to fall, or waiting for the baby to be born, or waiting for the kingdom to come. He knows how waiting can turn into a kind of solitary confinement in which the senses are dulled and the mind wanders. He knows how easy it is to fall asleep while you are waiting or to bite your fingernails down to the bone because the one thing you're waiting for will not come and you cannot make it come. You know, when you're waiting for something in particular, your brain has a way of phasing everything out, doesn't it? Have you noticed that? Phases everything else out. If you're waiting for a certain car to pull into your driveway, it's 11 at night and you've been awaiting for a loved one to arrive who had planned to be at your house by 10, and there's thunderstorms all evening. You're not going to pay a whole lot of attention to the sound of an airplane overhead or the hum of the refrigerator cutting on. Your ears, your entire being are tuned to the one frequency alone, namely the sound of that familiar car that you're waiting to come into the driveway. Scientists have devised a game that proves how hard it is to notice something when we are expecting something else. Here's how it goes. They sit you down at a table in front of an ordinary deck of cards, and they flash six of them at you. asking you to identify them as fast as you can. Nine of diamonds, three of hearts, jack of clubs. Whoops, what was that one again? Then they repeat the exercise, slowing it down a little so you can get the ones you missed the first time. The third time is so slow that you think you must just be an idiot because there's one card you simply cannot identify. You think you know what it is, but you're not sure. And it's not until the cards are all laid face up on the table in front of you that you see what the problem is. The mystery card is a six of spades, only it is red, not black. The deck has been fixed by those scientists. Someone has changed the rules, rules that prevented you from seeing what was there. You could not see a red spade because spades are supposed to be black. Our expectations, however faithful, may prevent us from seeing what is there. I've often thought that the second coming would be wasted on me because I have such a set notion about how it's supposed to be. The Son of Man riding a white horse with wings right out of the clouds, touching down beside the outdoor altar at Camp Allen. Or maybe on the lawn of the National Cathedral. Only, what if Jesus comes as a Guatemalan Indian on a burro? Or a Tibetan exile on a yak? What if he comes out of the housing projects of Houston on a broken down bicycle with long hair down his back and jewelry in his ear? Stranger things have happened after all. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary? Red spades have always been hard to see. Look at the fig tree and all the trees, Jesus says. Never mind red spades. This is graduate level work, and most of us are still in kindergarten. If we want to learn what God is up to, we can begin by attending to the world around us. There are parables happening on every street corner and clues to the kingdom in every square foot of the earth. But most of us are not looking for them. That's what Jesus was getting at, I think, when he told the people to look at the fig tree. They may not have done that for a while. They may have been focused on abstract things like earthquakes and plagues. By directing their attention to a sprouting tree, Jesus let them know that they didn't really have to be working so hard, that God was speaking to them in the most ordinary events of their lives. No one sees a flower, not really, wrote the painter Georgia O'Keeffe. To look at a flower takes time, like having a friend takes time. Every day I hear people say, I don't have time, I'm out of time. I say it myself. But the bold-faced truth is that I have all the time there is. I just have to decide how best to use it. I know that time is passing for those of us who are waiting. Whether it passes quickly or slowly, time is all we have. The question is, how shall we use it? How shall we wait? Jesus' answer about looking at the fig tree sounds like an invitation to pay attention not only to what may happen in the future, but also to what is happening in front of us right now. It sounds like a clue that God may be reaching out to us through things we would not have thought of as religious, even something as worldly as a fig tree in bloom. Maybe you already know that the word apocalypse means revelation, as in that moment when you're looking at something you have looked at half your whole life, and suddenly you see it for the first time, whether it's the sun coming up through the trees like an iridescent peach, or the sorrow in your neighbor's eyes, or your own face looking back at you in the mirror. Revelation is the moment when you can see through, see into, see beyond what is going on, what is really going on. Not because you're some kind of genius, but because God decided to let you see. And you happen to be paying attention at the time. Be on guard, Jesus said. Be alert at all times. Not so you will know when to grab your crash helmet and head for the basement, but so you will know when the kingdom is near. So you will not miss God when God comes. Stand up and raise your heads, our gospel for today says, because your redemption is drawing near. There are all kinds of ways to wait. There is the tense, dread-filled waiting of those whose hope is gone. There is the resigned waiting for those for whom a spade is always a spade. There's even a kind of compulsive waiting in which one collects signs of the end like souvenir spoons. Get the whole set and poof, the rapture comes. The problem with all of these, as far as I can tell, is that they assume God operates by the same rules we do and will never slip a wild card into the deck. Only what if God's hand is all about wild cards, including some greens and blues? The only way to wait for a God like that is to look, to be on guard, to be alert at all times so that we don't miss the revelations we are being offered every day of our lives. How shall we wait? We wait patiently in expectation. Wait actively, not passively. Wait as wide awake as we know how to be wide awake. Wait attentively. Wait as one who is present to the moment, as one who believes that this moment is the moment. Wait as fully alive as we can be, not because we have to, but because we can. Thanks to the one who has died, who has risen, who will come again and again and again into our hearts, into our lives, and into our world. Now, every day, and when we will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Amen.